Buffalo doesn't wander out.
March 4th.
Is it March 4th?
March 4th.
I guess the tribe doesn't matter. Oh, yeah. All right. We can get started. Good morning, everyone. And, yeah, thanks for being here, everybody. And it is, so that the record is clear, it is a little bit after 10 a.m. on March 4th, 2010. This is the North Dakota Public Service Commission. I'm Kevin Kramer. The purpose of today's meeting is a follow-up meeting to a previous meeting that was held February 19th to talk about the 211 service, the discontinuing and hopefully the continuing of 211, and the role of First Link as the provider of that service. What I would like to do today, I'll just do a little bit of history and that brings us to this point. But first, I'd like to have some opening comments and greetings from my fellow commissioners, and then we'll go from there. We'll start with Commissioner Brian Kulk, who has the telecommunications portfolio.
Just thanks, everyone, for all their work to get here today. And I just, you know, last time we met, we really laid, I think, the background of what we were doing, trying to get to. I hope today that, you know, First Link has a budget, that we can just have some good, candid, direct discussion of what we can provide and what we can't provide, and then we'll see where we're at and move forward. So thanks again for all your work to this point.
Thank you. Commissioner Tony Clark.
Just thanks. Look forward to a good meeting today.
Thank you. So with that, there are a number of folks in the room, if anybody's listening online, who are stakeholders, of course, in this effort. And I think everybody that's probably here was here at the previous meeting as well. Well, I just thought for purposes of bringing us up to date, I would let you all know that after our February 19th meeting, we realized that it was necessary for us to continue this for the commission to have an official meeting and reopen this case, which is case number PU09713. And so we did notice that meeting, had that meeting, passed a motion to issue a notice of intent to reopen the proceeding concerning First Link's application for 211 designation in North Dakota. And what that did is that opened the notice of opportunity for a hearing, and that meant that anybody who wanted to have a hearing had to let us know in writing, and they have until, is it March 17th, I believe, to request a formal hearing. And that's designed because there may be somebody other than First Link who would have an interest. We know that's unlikely, but at the same time, we needed to fulfill those obligations. The three issues to consider in the notice of hearing is any other entity interested in designation as user of the 211 dial code in North Dakota? Issue two is First Link's use of the statewide 211 dial code consistent with the FCC intended use of that code? And number three is it in the public interest for the commission to authorize First Link statewide use of the 211 dialing code effective when First Link's 211 services are sufficiently funded? So those are the three issues in the notice. If there is not a request for a hearing, and again, I anticipate there will not be, but if there is not, then we could proceed without a hearing. Yeah. With that, I think rather than go around the room and have everybody that's in attendance identify themselves, which we did do last time, what I'll do instead is, as people, as I call on folks to comment, then just introduce yourselves. And we do have a record because we did, yes, we want to make sure that the microphones are on so that the record is clear and so that everybody in the media knows who's talking. We did, pass around a sign-up sheet, did we not? Scott, thank you. So we do know who's here, okay? Does that sound like an okay way to proceed, guys? Mm-hmm. So I think the place to start was the one charge for First Link at the conclusion of the last meeting was to come up with a proposal, like a cost, a budget, if you will, of what it would require to bridge the gap between basically now or March 15th when the statewide 211 service would be ended and the next biennium, at which time the legislature could then take this issue up and consider with its advocates whether there would be an appropriate role for state funding for the 211 service. So you have done that. Cindy is with us as well as her chairman, and we appreciate that. And so maybe if you guys want to just bring us up to date with the proposal that you've presented, everybody has a copy of that, I suspect, of the budget. And so, Mark, are you going to present that, or will Cindy?
I think we will. I think Cindy
will. Okay.
I'll assist here.
Okay, very good. With that, I'll call on Cindy Miller with First Link.
Oops, thank you. Yep, this is Cindy Miller with First Link. We just went through, I met with our finance committee and executive board committee about a week and a half ago, I think it was, Mark, it's when we actually met, and just went through things that we would need to add in order to be able to continue 2-in-1. We already have the infrastructure in place. This would be for a 17-month period then is what we're looking at. Payroll was the big piece, obviously. We'd need to order. We were going to hire 3 more staff, benefited salaries, and also in there is a percentage of my salary, too, then that would be helping to work with this program. Also, because obviously this is going to take a lot more work out of my day rather than some of the other programs I'm working on currently. Everything else pretty much is pretty self-explanatory, I think. I don't think there's – we did put in advertising, and we didn't know if that's something they want to do or not, a piece that could easily be taken out of. The board just said if that's something that, you know, something we don't have in our budget right now to advertise that across the state and to make sure that people are aware of it. So that's a flexible piece there. And our telephone, we're expecting to get more lines, more phones, and then take on the 800 number and the calls, all that that would take. So we figure that's going to be a, you know, that's an estimate for us. We have no way of knowing that what that's going to be, especially if there's marketing done and how the call volume will increase.
Sure.
Computers, we need 2 new computers to be able to, for the extra staff on, to be able to keep up with that piece. So otherwise, basic supplies, basic things. Rent is, you know, $175 a month is what we put in there for adding on that piece out of our regular rent that we're paying right now. So I think everything's, we tried to be real reasonable with things. I don't think everything seems out of the ordinary there. I don't know if there's any other questions. The professional fees would be like, we do not have an IT person, so we pay someone for our computer upkeep and our bookkeeper. We pay for bookkeeping, so that's what that $5,000 is up there.
Okay. Mark, did you want to add anything to that? Mark Nauman is the chairman of the board at First Link.
Well, again, we did meet, and as everybody knows, First Link as a whole is really 2 parts to First Link. There's a volunteer coordinator, volunteer center, which is busy with the flood right now, and then there's the 211 and suicide hotline and that entity. So, and we already are the Cass County 211 rep. So
yes,
we do have a certain amount. I mean, if you were starting from scratch, it would look a lot different, this number. But
certainly,
we do have the infrastructure at least to handle what we handle. So it's a certain amount of guesswork that goes into this.
Mm-hmm.
But we think we made some reasonable assumptions. If this works out, we're convinced that it's a logical fit, first of all, because just the AIRS certification took a chunk of our agenda for about 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing what it takes to get AIRS accredited and how much work our staff did. So, again, it seems logical for us to do it if the funding is reasonable. We'll have a real good, if it does work out, we'll have a real good idea about 2 years from now how this works. And but again, we do have the infrastructure and the people, so just adding more things is a certain amount of guesswork too, how that's going to work.
Sure.
But staff-wise, I mean, facility-wise, we're fine. We don't have to move. We have enough room where we are. We're right on 13th Avenue, close to West Acres there.
Let me ask. I know when I first looked at just the bottom line number, I had a little bit of sticker shock, but as I start thinking through it a little bit more, I think it perhaps makes a little bit more sense, and that we are realizing this is an 18-month, almost an 18-month budget, and we're talking about a year and a half worth of expenditures. I think we had talked before about, you know, sort of hearing anecdotally it might be in the $200,000 a year neighborhood to run it. As I kind of calculated out, I think you're probably actually looking at a little less than that for a one-year budget. I don't know what, you know, different agencies are going to be able to bring to the table, but Let me ask: Is it feasible if we can't get to 241 or whatever the magic number is to view it in a more incremental type approach, where, you know, this could be phased in? At least we can, you know, work on getting us through months here in the near term future, and, you know, maybe over the last 6 months of the time that we have to get through, you know, we see if we can, you know, we get as far as we can, and if we get to that point and we need to put some more things together, we try to do it at that point. Or does it need to be a full commitment of this amount of money for First Link to make a commitment? And the reason I ask is I think a lot of us are concerned about these next few weeks or months, especially with the floods coming.
Well, from my standpoint, I've been on the board for 6 years and been on the chair. I've been a chair for the last 3 years, and really the first thing that comes up when we talk to our people is and for me, just from experience looking back on it, is, you know, we have to hire some people too, and if you don't really have a commitment to fund, it's not really fair to them. And if you, well, again, hiring full time for a limited income, or limited funding, but yet you're hiring people full time, so. That's probably their biggest concern, because again, they're 24/7. So our staff, you know, three is a number in here, but actually it might be a little more. We're not quite sure. So, you know, anything less than at least a year, I think it's just not fair to. I mean, although people in the nonprofit world are used to skinny budgets, and you know, I come in the for-profit world, in the banking world, so I look at it a little differently. But that is a little bit troublesome. So we'll need some kind of a.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even 12 months, I think, is not unreasonable. So
yeah, and I think a year is fair enough. It also gets us into the legislative session where there are more opportunities to fix immediate needs if you need them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But so I think a year would be reasonable. And that and kind of, for lack of a better word, whose portfolio this falls into, so we can communicate. And
right.
You know, we're going to be talking, you know, a year goes fast. And,
yes.
And after about 3 months, we're going to be talking. And
right.
So that was our other two. Really, those are our two issues, is some kind of stable, reasonable funding.
When you talk about portfolio, you're referring to like what state agency would the governor would put in a budget if we got it in an executive budget.
Right.
But even right now, the board was curious when we were reading, like, Cindy, who is the person who's going to be in charge? Who is going to be the person, you know, sending out the money, and who are you reporting to? And I said that was not put out there from unless I missed something there, but I said I haven't heard anything like that. So that was another concern they had, is
sure.
Who will be that person, and what sort of reports and what sort of mm-hmm. things do we need to do for that mm-hmm. agency or group?
Sure. As I look at this, and Cindy, I appreciated your characterization of the advertising as not, you know, questionable or not sure, and it's not something you've had in your budget. I mean, that would be one of the discretionary things I would see as somewhat of a luxury. And largely, I would think that the advertising or the marketing really falls in the hands of the referral agencies.
And we were discussing that too. I said, you know, can we make up bookmarks, calling cards and things online and keep them updated all the time, and then whenever her agency needs more, she'll go and copy off those on her own card stock and do it and pass them out that way. That's a way that would be wonderful. So that would be, right now what they've been doing is making them, mailing them, doing all that kind of stuff. So if there's some way I can do that without taking that piece off, that would mm-hmm. be wonderful for me. It would be wonderful for the agencies too, and you'd get it out there faster.
Sure.
So,
one of the good things that might come out of this whole exercise is we may have gotten more free advertising for 2-1-1
yeah,
in the last 6 weeks.
It's become a pretty hot topic.
That's true.
Than it's ever had.
Right. Just in case.
Just a question for the how much will this increase your overall budget at First Link if this goes through? Like, I mean,
percentage-wise?
Yeah, just to get a feel for what kind of money rolls through the organization. And I'm sure that's probably public record, but I just don't.
Yeah.
Just to get a feel, I mean, is this a 5%, 10%, 30%?
We got to go back to a year then, too, because this is.
Yeah, right,
year,
right,
so,
sure.
I just brought another one.
Well, if we take a year number, just a ballpark,
that's
too small, okay.
It's too little for you.
Yeah, but that's both, right? That's
yes.
That's both sides of
the. Is that what you meant? The budget.
You mean First Link? But again, the agency is two parts. There's the 2-1-1. There's a, but I can tell you on that part. Yeah, this would raise it maybe a third, maybe more than that, maybe 30-40%. Would
overall
on,
or just
on the phone,
2-1-1?
On the 24/7 side. This would be probably about a 40% increase.
And
you're covering a lot. I mean, you're covering from Cass County to the whole state.
Correct.
Yeah.
Put it in perspective.
Yeah, this is Cass County's number, and then this is not. This is everything but Cass County.
Yeah, right.
What we're showing you. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we did try to completely separate it just so you get
no, that's
better flavor.
Good.
So okay.
Yeah. we're getting a good deal.
Right. Well, the other thing is at least the first year or two, the biggest effort that we did when we changed computers a couple of years ago, changed over our system, was the data gathering and to make it worth something. And that's a number we really don't know statewide, what it looks like, how long it's going to take.
Mm-hmm.
We think we have one person that's dedicated all the time now, Angie, that does database entry. And we think one of these positions or more would be for at least the first year or so would just be to get everything pulled together from the statewide, too. So a couple of years from now, it might flatten out where we kind of know what we're doing. And but when people call, you know, that's what we do. They're an INR agency. And
hopefully, just real quick, following up on that, I assume that there's an existing database that MHAND had for statewide, so that could be incorporated in.
Well, yeah, that's
yeah, we've
question.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, at the moment we have access to that, but it's not. Yeah, there's a lot of.
I think that's clear.
Yeah, it needs some help. So, it's going to take a lot of work, but we've got access to it right now, which is good. And then, so we've got it not connected to ours because we just have it in a separate base.
Okay.
But we could still access it and go in there and use things as we need. But we're finding errors and things. So
hopefully you'd migrate it over to.
Yes. The, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Before we leave the need side, I call this the need side. Are there any other questions anybody would have related to that? Harvey. There you go. First say who you are so that it's recorded.
I'm RV Smith. I'm the Deputy State Health Officer. Would you be willing to consider this? We're looking at like a interim funding situation, and you indicated that part of your salary is in this salary spot here.
Right.
And you had originally said that these were just added costs. Your salary must already be funded.
Right, but we have a shortage in our budget at the moment, a small one. So I'm thinking if I'm going to be taking part of mine, you know, part of my salary will go towards all the programs. It'll be divided up is what we do. So I have a certain percentage that goes to the volunteer center, some part that goes to management, some part that goes to the 211. I answer calls. I'm on call. I'm on call nights 24/7. So part of what I would do now would be taking over there too. So part of mine would go into that piece.
So your salary would increase?
No, I'm not getting a salary increase at all.
And I understand that on the long run, but since we're all piecing together bits of our budgets that we can find, I was wondering if that was absolutely necessary.
I got a 2% increase on January 1st this year, and that will be that way until January 1st of next year, until they'll evaluate my performance again and decide if there's any funding for it. So my salary is not getting affected by this at all.
Or I didn't know if it would be overtime. It would result in overtime or something.
I'm salaried, so I'm not.
You're salaried.
I don't get overtime. So.
Yeah. But Arvey's point, though, is just simply, is it completely necessary in this interim while we build this bridge to allocate any of it if it's already, because if we don't get to a number that works and 211 goes away.
It's not a big part of this number.
No, I'm sure. Okay.
No. It's pretty minimal, so.
I'll just throw this out for general consumption again. If it wasn't for First Link, we wouldn't even be having this discussion.
Right.
So, I mean, at this point, I'd like to see where we're at. I mean, if we're at 241,000, we're home. If we're at 105,000.
Well, I'd rather go back to the need side, to the expense side of the ledger, and finish that up, if that's okay. Carol, I can sense you have some.
Is this on now?
Yeah.
Okay. It is.
There you go, Carol.
There you
okay,
go.
Okay. I just have a question. I'm a little familiar with budgets. I'm Carol Olson, the executive director of the Department of Human Services, and I'm a firm believer in this 211 line. I think anybody who was here last time would understand that. And we are going to be a participant in helping here, the department is. When you put together this budget and came up with $241,450, did you really peruse your numbers? And I'm just asking out of curiosity because I know in building budgets, you look at, you try to look at it in a manner of being conservative, and putting together what you think would be a very conservative budget. Are we looking at a conservative budget here?
I think so. There's a couple areas, like I said, telephone. We don't know about telephone. Mm-hmm. That's a wild card. So that area is one. I think we tried to be as conservative. Like I said, there was, you know, a whole finance committee that sat down and went through this. You know, we knew certain things about the phone lines, the amounts of minutes. We knew some past history, so we kind of went from there. And the same with advertising. That was the number that they kind of pulled out because we don't know. But they said, you know, if they have an issue with advertising, they can pull that out. Mm-hmm. That was there. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, everything else I felt was pretty much thought through.
We took the actual phone bill that we were looking at that phone bill for the November, December. And so that's very right on. I'd say the only one on there is advertising because we were assuming that we'd be doing the advertising for mm-hmm. it. But the phone bill might even be low. We don't know. I mean, that's one of our biggest expenses that we have.
Okay, then just two other comments. I do believe, I believe that the advertising could really be done, like Kevin said, that, you know, by the referral agencies. And in fact, I think you're going to get a bigger bang for your buck and using that that route.
That less work for us. So exactly. Wonderful.
And then the other thing about the computers, you need a couple of new computers. Have you thought about asking those being donated or thought about going down that route at all?
We have not at the moment. We purchased brand new computers, all of our other ones, last year. Since such a big part of what we do, what happened before is we had old ones that mm-hmm. had been borrowed and used, which was wonderful. But when our whole system is INR and it depends on that database and our computers, last year we did buy all new computers through our entire place. And those are paid for, and it's already in place. So it's not a – so one of our finance men – on the board is a computer. So he does, you know, we don't get them from him, sure. But he's advised us, and I think we've done pretty good on getting what we have. So
understand.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's a pretty important question for, especially for agencies like ours who have we'd be begging for forgiveness, put it that way, if we cut a check. So if there are some needs that we can fulfill other ways to even as an agency, especially temporarily. I mean, it's just easier for us if there are some things like this that we could participate in, but we can talk about that later. Okay. But it's really kind of a big deal to agencies like ours if we're to help. Okay. So are there any other questions or issues anybody would have on the expense side as presented in this proposal? Then can I ask this? Go ahead.
I don't know if this is a huge expense item or not, but I did notice that it runs through August 1st. I think the biennium would actually – fiscal year would begin July 1st for the state. Mm-hmm. So
we're just assuming 30 days for a contract or something like that.
I talked to Brian and Scott, and they were the ones who gave me the date because they said that the money wouldn't be coming through until then, and so that's where I got that.
Mm-hmm. We were just assuming –
you can probably sign – contracts with the begin date at the beginning of the biennium, but I mean it might provide a little bit of leeway.
That's a number that we're the date we're told.
So you could divide this by 17.
I was going to say if we can, that's an important point because if we can, let's just realizing this is not a duly called meeting of any organization that has any authority whatsoever, even though we have a nice case number in our docket assigned it. But if we can assume for a moment that we're now talking about a $221,450 17-month budget and divide it by 17, which I'm not going to do in my head, but if somebody, some smart engineer around here is able to do that, Pat, then yeah, that would be – and the only reason I say that – and Brian's exactly right. I mean, if the bidding begins and we get to 221, we don't have to worry about it. But I'm a little suspicious of that conclusion. But, I hate to sound I hate to sound so tight, but we really kind of are, frankly. Yeah. So
one bit of math I did, so this is all subject to check, is, you know, if we're really looking at the bare minimum that we have to have a year commitment, which is about 70% of that number that we, you know, if you just take 12 months out of 17, you know, without advertising, you're looking at about the $154,000 range, with advertising, $171,000.
Okay.
But that would be, I mean, just getting
you
through a year.
14,200 a month. Okay.
That's for 17 months then. That number 13 is 13,000 on 221. 17 months is 13,000. But if we go to a year, it'd be less than that. It's 100. I think that's where you got the 150.
I think it'd be 14,000 either way.
If we're using the 221,450,
okay,
it comes to be 13,026.
Right. 13.
If you take the times 12, it comes to be 156,317.
Okay.
What was that last number, Scott?
156,317.
Okay.
And again, I'm using 221,450.
So that's about.
All right. So we're dealing with a number somewhere in that range for now. And realizing we really do want this to succeed. We really, truly do want this to succeed. With that, then let's move on to the other side of the ledger, and that is the, how much money is available to help make that succeed. And RV, I'm going to ask you first, because you were so wonderful at the last meeting and so hopeful, and just kind of maybe get an update from you on what you might be able to help us with.
Yeah, when I spoke last time, I was intending to be as a partner with other
yes,
funders as
you
well.
Will. Yes,
and
yes.
So I was mentally in my head thinking there are probably at least four partners, and at that time we were talking around 100,000, and so I was hoping to keep us around 25%. And so in my head I was thinking around 25,000. If we're up a bit higher, I'd like to keep it below 50.
Mm-hmm.
We do have some funding. My staff, they did have a plan to, although not committed, they had a plan to give those grants to local communities for suicide efforts. And so every dollar I take to do this mm-hmm. comes out of there.
Sure.
And so that's what I have to balance.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if we should have, like, sealed bids for everybody to put their number down and put them in a pot, because otherwise I think we could have the tendency would be as you trip down the line, the number will get smaller. So just quite, I just being up front there, buddy. And if you all have a number, what you had coming in, you had just throw it out there.
Okay.
I don't know if my staff was able to contact you, but we are very interested if we can get data from mm-hmm. the calls that are made for all of us, then, so that we can know how many of these are emergency related, how many are suicide, how many are gambling.
Sure.
And we've got that all broken down mm-hmm. every month. We send it to any place. We send it to funders. I know Bremer, Impact, other foundations get the numbers every quarter, every month, whatever works for you. So we can send out. We've got an amazing database that has all the information. So whatever information you need, we can get sent.
Others there? Carol.
Okay. We have 7,200 that actually is from the Division of Mental Health and Substance Abuse for compulsive gambling. And we feel that we could possibly turn over about 70,000 that we capture in Title 19 funds at our Human Service Center, amongst the eight Human Service Centers. So that would be 77,200.
Holy smokes, Carol.
Title 19 is?
That's the Medicaid funding that it's the state federal match that we pull in from the Medicaid funding.
Okay.
In my Jerry Lewis telethon days, I'd start crying now.
I know.
Cindy's about to.
Yeah.
Is that a number?
That's a biannual. These are biannual figures. Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
And like I say, of course, any time that the Department of Human Services goes forward with something like this, there will be a time in the future, like in the next legislative
yeah.
session, when we'll be explaining this.
Yeah.
And we can explain it, and we will, and I'm prepared to do that. A 211 number in the state of North Dakota is something that I believe is very important for the citizens to have access to. And it does, in some ways, fall under the purview of the mission of the Department of Human Services
mm-hmm.
to serve the vulnerable population. And a good number of the calls that do come in on 211 are coming in from our vulnerable population,
sure.
from the citizens who really are seeking out help. But I did say here last time we were here that I don't believe it falls on one agency.
Yes.
However, because we do have some dollars that are available to us right now that we can see fit to put towards this effort, I guess I'm putting my money where my mouth is.
I guess you are.
And so that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, boy, that's...
That's amazing. The other thing is I need to know from people who are putting all this together what sort of reports, what sort of information, what sort of things that we can mm-hmm. do to help with all this, sort it all out to make mm-hmm. sure that you get what you need or that your callers are getting if there's something else that you need from us.
Sure.
So.
And we certainly can work that out, I'm sure, assuming we get to a number that works.
Carol's point is right on, too, as we get to the session then. When you get there talking about it, you know, I'm happy to come in there and talk about how we got there and all that. And that's what I think we all need to do is be prepared to support this decision as it goes through.
What I feel pretty strongly about, and I believe everybody in the room does, is that this issue needs an audience in
yes.
front of the legislature
mm-hmm.
for it's a policy decision.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for the legislature to make the appropriate decision, yay or nay, on this, it does have to get that far,
mm-hmm.
and I feel that we should take an opportunity to keep it alive long enough for it to get in front of the legislative
yes.
body for them to make that decision. So that weighed into this decision as well.
Thank you. Yeah, excellent. Well said. Rob.
Well, I wish I could have that mount.
So,
I do agree that where we're heading and the way 211 is being restructured to be an entity in the state that we can all use. We have 55,000 known veterans in North Dakota, and they're geographically dispersed. And so I took a look at our budget here, and our budget is strictly federal budget. And we go by fiscal year, and it's given down to us by the National Guard Bureau. And I, although I don't have that total amount, but you know, realistically, from what I could squeeze out of what we're from our family programs and for our reintegration budgets, anywhere in that vicinity of $3,000 to $5,000. But you know, it doesn't compare to the $40,000 we gave. But next fiscal year, once we know that this is the possibility of putting this into the budget for FY11, we can take a look. And now that we know about that, we can increase that and put our request into National Guard Bureau to try to get that even up to more as well, too. So just a small piece, but we just
wonderful.
Realized the value of 2-1-1.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
So it'd be 3 to 5 through October.
Through
right.
September 30th
right.
of this year.
Okay.
Till October 1.
Right.
Yep.
All right. The other, Cecily, do you have anything to help us with realizing that, well, I think Greg was here.
Yeah, we know we'll have about 70,000 over the biennium.
Do you want to come up here? I know you maybe don't, but we need you to because I want the there may be people listening to the audio stream or watching the video stream. And introduce yourself, Cecily, so everyone knows. Rob, I maybe didn't have you do that, but I think everybody knows who you are.
I'm Cecily Fong. I'm the Public Information Officer for the Department of Emergency Services. We know that we'll have about 70,000 available over the biennium, but those funds are not available at this time. We need to go through our grant process
and
implement the program that those funds will be used for.
Mm-hmm.
So the 70 is for an over, that's the total budget. That's not specific.
That would be what we would have available to support 211.
Okay. And again, the timeline for that is, can you just kind of run us through that?
Tentative at this point with flooding, we could roll the program out as early as sort of April or May. But we've had some programming and some technical issues that we're working through.
Sure.
So we're thinking maybe sometime this summer.
And as I understand it, I'm trying to recall when Greg was here talking about the specific interest that you all have is the data collector database as well, development of a thorough database,
yes.
a vulnerable population.
Correct.
So that during an emergency, it would be easy to contact, or at least easier to contact people.
Correct.
Okay. So it's a specific program, sort of specific grant, which is right up your alley, if I understand it properly, and certainly gets even to other issues. Okay. Okay.
You said you had four players in your mind. Are these
these the four players you had?
Oh, we haven't talked to United Way yet.
The general's office.
Well, right. That's right.
Okay.
I don't see them here. I don't see them here either, those rascals. Jenna.
I do think, and I don't know if the AG's office is going to be able to come through with anything through the gambling program or not at this point, but I do think that that's a discussion to have at the very least during the budgeting process. I mean, if the number is being put on the back of every state-sanctioned lottery ticket,
It is.
It's not unreasonable to think that that might be a good, not to force the AG to do anything that they don't want to do. But, I mean, it does seem like a realistic place to at least have a conversation.
One more comment about finding funding, too. We're early in the biennial budget process, and so, you know, we don't know what kind of roll-up we may or may not have. And, like, next December, I would be a lot more comfortable knowing where I stand. I'm juggling a lot of things that I don't know where they're going to land right now. So if we don't come up with enough now, I think talking to us next December would possibly have some better things as well.
Well, and it's an important point, and Mark, probably as important for you and your board as anything, to the degree that certainty is obviously important when you're making hiring decisions, and it's important to the people that would consider applying, obviously, as well as some first-time expenditures here that you don't want to waste. You don't want to sink those costs into something that won't be there. But to the degree we're able to have these other discussions, as Arvie's talking about, and provide at least a fair amount of certainty that we're here for you, we want to be able to do that, realizing that we all could be taken to the legislative woodshed someday. But I feel pretty good about our case. Because Carol's going to have, she's made a bold statement, and I'm very pleased. We're with you. Yeah.
Right behind you.
We're behind you all the way.
Yeah, you'll hold my jacket, right?
Yeah. You might even see us from where you are. No, really. That's not true. Okay. Now, not to pick on United Way, but United Way is such an important partner of yours in Cass County, obviously, and Clay County in Minnesota.
And they cut our ties.
And I was not aware until the previous meeting what an important partner United Way is with 211 everywhere. And so Jenna is here with United Way. Do you want to please come up to the table? And tell us what you might know. And you guys, just so everyone knows, I knew none of this before walking in here. So,
well, historically, we have funded 211 at a level of about $50,000 a year. But because our allocation period is over, we've reallocated those dollars elsewhere in the community. So pending board approval.
$50,000 per year statewide outside of Cass? Or
yeah, we would fund the outside of Cass. So Bismarck and west of here for the rest of the state. We're looking to other United Ways to chip in as well. Mm-hmm. But this year we could probably, pending board approval, do maybe $5,000 to $10,000. And potentially more in the future, depending on the need.
When you say this year, what time frame does that encompass?
Between now and June 30th. This fiscal year.
June of 2010.
Of 2010.
Okay.
Okay.
It's not the 70,000.
It's really cool. It's very cool. Yeah. Anybody else is just dying to get rid of money.
Prairie Public.
Yeah.
Come on. Let's have a radiothon. Huh? We can do that. I got a text from my old... No, that doesn't work on radio.
It doesn't fit.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yes, Rob.
Cindy, do you have an idea of how many agencies have 211 in their advertising?
Oh, good question.
Because I mean, number one, asking permission to use that, first of all. But then also, those are entities out there that, you know, with a letter sent from the agency with what's happening here to bring their awareness level up might generate some of those funds to come in as well.
Sure.
Okay. I have no clue. And that's, once in a while, we'll just find something out and we'll see something somewhere. Someone else will bring it to our attention.
Which raises another good point about why we need a central, long-term professional 211 provider, because they can help sort of coordinate even that part of it, and the messaging, the logo design, the consistency, and then just aggregate where it's all happening, Yes. Mm-hmm. All right.
And in talking about other agencies, I don't think the PSC. I'm sure individually we've all thought about this and have a number in our head. We do, and there are other agencies that could, would fit into our category as well. Perhaps people, kind of clientele who use it for insurance, possibly, maybe even tax if people need tax questions. Labor Department. I know one of the legal hurdles we have, though, just so you know that we're not, totally ducking this, is we would probably need to go to the Emergency Commission if we're going to take, allocated dollars. We don't have grant dollars, at least in our agency. We're not a special funded agency. We're general funds. So, if we get to that point, I think we'd probably be willing to perhaps lead a coalition of those kind of administrative agencies that are general funded but who have basically our hands tied as far as what we can deliver in checks to outside entities. If we need to get to that point, I'm sure we'd be happy to go to the Emergency Commission and say, if we need this authority to spend the money, here's what we think we can come up with, too.
Although, couldn't we I'm really thinking out loud, which is very reckless. But I've been known to do that. For the first time in many years, just got an 800 number for people that have questions on their utility bills and things like that. It's not out of the realm of possibility, would it be, that 211 would be a service for that kind of?
Maybe. I don't know. The difference is you're writing a check to somebody outside of government, which is.
Right. Yeah, we'd have to have a contract with them to provide that service.
Right.
All right. I'm just thinking of
I don't know. I'm not the attorney.
And you notice we don't bring attorneys with us into these meetings. They go very smoothly. We get chewed out later.
It's a fiscal
it is.
Procedure issue. The OMB is really, I guess, the one who would answer that for us. But I know that there's at least a number of red flags that have been raised about that.
But Tony's right. We'd be happy to lead a coalition of those types of agencies that might have some use for the service that could justify it and go collectively to the Emergency Commission.
Absolutely.
Hand in hand. All right. Now, did anybody add all of these numbers? Scott did. And, of course, Scott, you added them high. You took all the high numbers in the ranges.
I'll just go through them just to make sure that these numbers are appropriate. I have 77,200.
From the Department of Human Services. Health.
Right.
Yeah.
I have 5,000 from Rob. I have 70,000 from emergency services, and then I chose 40,000 because I know you didn't want to get to 50. So between 25 and 50, I chose 40.
That's fair.
And with those numbers,
she said that too quickly.
And United Way, I have the United Way in there for I put down 10. And with those numbers added up, I have actually a surplus of $923.
What's the total number?
I don't know. I'll figure it out.
He went away.
Well, I mean, it's...
I have 157,240.
No, it's way more than that.
Hang on.
You got emergency services, you got health and...
Just two of them get you that.
Human services.
It's just over 200.
But now some of that is spread throughout the whole year, though.
Yeah.
There are timing issues.
There are timing issues. The point is that, yes, there are timing issues, there are contract issues, there are all of these things, but the fact is that there's a obvious strong commitment and strong desire to make this work with 211, realizing that up until March 17th, somebody else could come in and ask for the opportunity to present as well.
I do think even though we've kind of hit the mark on the expense side, I think I would go lean on the advertising.
I would as well. I would agree.
Rob's point about rounding up the people, like we know the Legion uses it and other companies that are spending money to advertise. We just got to
aggregate all of that and see where we are, you bet. Yeah. All right. What's the next step, folks?
Isn't it? I mean, we have the orders open.
The order's open until March 17th.
So someone needs to request these services if they desire them, whether it's...
So I need to send in a new affidavit if we're interested, is that correct?
You are being considered in the order already.
Okay.
Is that... Tony, help me with that.
Let me take...
The order is...
We still would need something from First Link saying that they are interested.
Is Pat gone? Sure.
Because the order says, is any other entity interested in designating? But we still would need something from First Link saying they are committing to do that. We can't just railroad
them. But it's similar to the one that we did before, right?
Oh, yes, it would be very easy for you to duplicate, replicate if necessary. Although, the way I read the order, First Link is the under consideration already, and the notice of opportunities for anybody else that might be interested.
Wouldn't it be worthwhile just to get something from them?
Oh, for sure it would. Yeah, for sure it would. Okay.
Yeah, I think we do need something for sure from First Link. I mean, it's a little bit vague on... kind of what happened to all the order states is that the we have reason to believe that the conditions of fact have so changed so as to require reopening of the proceeding, but it doesn't presuppose anything in particular. So, yeah,
what
you
I
can flesh out what the changes in the fact have been.
Right.
Are you sure you're not an attorney?
No. I play one on TV sometimes.
You know, yeah. Anyway.
I never get accused.
No, you don't. You're a Marine. That's why I sit in the middle. I'm neither. Next steps, making some assumptions here. We do need one entity who is the sort of the fiscal agent of all of this, right? I mean, you've said that clearly. There needs to be an accountability structure that's acceptable to the government as well as to First Link. And let me just suggest that it's not the Public Service Commission. Is that fair? Before anyone else says anything. So the question becomes, who should it be?
You really don't want it to be us.
Yeah.
Any money we receive goes to the general fund and it never gets out.
It never gets out, that's right, unless you're siting a power plant. So where's a good place for that to take place? Or should we appoint a little committee to work that out, Carol? That's an honest question. I'm not suggesting anything. I'm just looking for help.
Though, I think there probably needs to be a discussion, because if the desire is, well, you want to go to it, maybe you want to be a bigger role. I mean, I'm not speaking for you, but it's not so easy, I think, as any one spot, depending where this goes.
You know, we would need a contract.
Right.
First Link, and that's where our accountability will be, and we'll have, you don't want to see our contract, but so we'll have plenty of accountability that way.
Yes.
I don't know if the intent of a fiscal agent is that the others all give it to the one.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
A contract with them,
I don't think we need
a contract as well. And Brenda Wise, I'll talk it over with Brenda.
Okay.
She's our CFO, and I would imagine the same with you.
I think
each and every one of us who have some dollars invested here or have said we're going to have some dollars invested here need to go back to our finance folks and figure out where to go from then and at least let the PSC know what our plans are.
Yeah. We're happy to be the aggregate,
for
information. We're glad to be that. I mean, that's what we've done to this point is facilitated all of this, and we're happy to do that. And Scott's kind of our go-to guy there, so he can keep track. He's clearly got some calculator issues, but but he's good with information. Is that good? Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right. Is there anything else then that we, Cindy, Mark, anything else you need to hear today?
No, I think we're right. Our board will just need to make a vote once more that we want to proceed.
Certainly. And we want to encourage a yes vote, Mark.
Well, and I can tell you, you know, if we take it out, we take it out for a long
time. Yeah.
And we want this thing to work really, really well. And, I think we have the people to do it, and certainly the other partners here to do it. And, you know, that's why we're talking about either a committee or
yes.
something just so.
Sure.
Because we're going to have to meet more than once a year. We're going to have to talk about this.
You bet.
And we're wide open for how things are done other parts of the state. Because we're still finding out how things are done, how things were done. And so there's a lot of unknown things, but I think they're also very reasonable.
Well, and I'd say, judging by our previous order with First Link, and the fact that you picked up the ball in midstream when it was dropped earlier, that there's a sense of confidence we have in First Link at this point, so that you know that's the case. And by the way, also a strong appreciation for the fact that you did step up when there was a need. And furthermore, our vulnerable community, our vulnerable citizens really need this, and they really need you. And we need the link, we being the agencies that provide the services and not just the ones in this room. So that's why you're seeing this sense of commitment today, and we just appreciate you, okay? Yeah.
Well,
we aren't a heavily populated state, but we're spread out.
Yes. Well, that's got a lot of challenges.
Technology's never been better, so yes. It's a matter of putting it together, and we're all for it.
Once we do get a permanent solution in place, and hopefully it'll include state money, permanent state money, I do like the idea of, I think you talked about a committee or an advisory board or something mm-hmm. like that, yeah. so that there's a stakeholder group that kind of sees this through so it doesn't fall through the cracks again, if you know what I mean. I mean, 2-on-1 existed out there, has for a long time, and you've run it admirably in Cass County, and MHAND had it statewide. But at the same time, there wasn't, you know, this sort of group of caretakers who are making sure that all of the different players, like we've had at the table here the last few times, are really can be champions for it, or there. And I think that just judging from our experience, for example, with 8-1-1, which has had, I think, a pretty good track record of that. I mean, early on, they had the 8-1-1 advisory board come in and really be kind of take ownership of that that particular number. But I mean, something similar to that on a going forward basis, I think, would be great for 2-on-1.
I had a thought too. I heard, I think, you two say that you don't have the money available now. Probably later.
I do have, that $3,000 to $5,000 up until the end of this fiscal year, which is 30 September.
Okay.
And then I'll have to build into the budget for the next FY11.
Okay, and you didn't have yours for a while. Okay, so I'm sure you probably have cash flow and need to have some of it earlier than later. We can make a contract effective March 1st. Carol, I don't know how.
We probably will have increments, but some would be available now.
Yeah.
And that's how we look. Again, I come from the banking world. That's what I kind of envision. It's just a timeline, cash flow.
Sure.
And here's the end number, but here's how it's going to come. Because everybody's got different year ends too. And, I mean, that's
right.
That's fine.
As long as you know. And
so we can actually begin the process of contracting, because we have to do a statement of work. We can begin that process. We have to wait till March 15th.
Well, it's a good point.
I think that's more a question that you would have to answer with your contracting folks as opposed to us. I mean, from our standpoint, all that we do is designate the number, the authority to utilize that number itself. But, whether your contracts require that to be in place or not is something you'd probably need to.
So what's the status now, then? Who has the authority?
First Link does through March 15th. At the end of that, and continuing after that in Cass County, it's unclear. I mean, no, the commission isn't going to come down and, if we don't have the actual order technically passed until the 17th, isn't going to tell them
but
to shut it off.
But has authority statewide through the 15th right now.
Right.
So
through the 15th statewide. Cass County after that.
If they want to give money to do statewide services now, they've already got the authority to do that.
Right. I mean, technically, there may be a period of a couple of days where it lapses, but we're the enforcement agency, and we're not going to,
Yeah.
Is it worth a follow-up to the AG's office to see if they'll pony up some resources? Scott?
Yeah, I think it is. It is. Yep.
At least with respect to the gambling money, see if they've...
And I have talked to the insurance department, too, a little bit. I see Cindy's here, so... I didn't see her step up to the mic. I didn't see her hair.
Well, possibly through Schick, or I don't know if there's...
Cecily, you might have some influence with the tax department.
Possibly.
Cindy.
Thank you. My name is Cindy Sheldon, and I'm with the insurance department. We have a current contract that we are working on with Cindy right now, and I would possibly work on increasing that. It was very minimal last year, so I don't think we have any funding right now to give, but we will look at the yearly contract increase.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy. Thank you. All right.
Yeah, it's our board has kind of morphed the last few years, and everybody in the room has been on big boards that are more ceremonial, and but the first thing board I can tell you is every person that we recruit can assist the staff, can be a resource for the staff, and then secondly maybe they'll go out and raise some money, but it's just the opposite of some of the. And that's what I really envision this thing is to be, because we're in the far east corner of the state. So, we need a working partners committee kind of thing, too, and we'd welcome that very much. So,
cool.
Very transparent, as
like
they say. So,
for people.